For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. So we're learning wisdom here from the wisest of all people. We're in the middle of chapter 2, and we're going to start again from verse 11. Is that where we left off? Oh, we were close to there. We were talking, Shlomo tried the collection thing. In other words, he tried possessions. Everybody has their thing. I mentioned when I grew up, you know, I did stamp collecting for a while, and then coin collecting, and baseball card collecting, but that's the American way. You got to have things to be happy. You get older, you got to have bigger things. I had one daughter that liked shoes. She had lots of shoes, you know. She had more shoes than you could ever. Things alone don't bring happiness. I think that's the important thing. In other words, you can get very involved in collecting. I've got to have, they had today people collect, you know, movie memorabilia, science fiction, whatever it is, and it becomes their life. They really, you know, they dress it, they live it, they reenact it, and it can become like a religion. People don't have religion, so they need something to replace it. So they have, like, you know, science fiction or whatever it is, sports, or they have other things that take over their lives. And it's such a shame, because there's a reason why, you know, serving Hashem, we were created to serve Hashem and to do important things, but you can replace it with all kinds of other things. And in his search for happiness, he attempted to do these types of things. He collected gold, he collected silver, he collected buildings, he collected, talks about irrigating yards. I told you, on Shabbos morning I walk, I see certain people working on their yard all morning, you know, that I don't even know what they do. There's one weed, there's two weeds, they gotta cut it exactly. But it's their baby. I have nothing against a pretty garden or a nice, but when you're not doing it and you see someone that does it, it won't bring happiness alone. That's not what life, you can get very busy in your collection. And that's kind of what he says over here. And he kind of sums it up over here in verse 11. Let's go back to 10. The kol asher shalu eini lo atzalti mehen. He had an unlimited budget. Most collectors would love that. In other words, whatever I asked for, whatever my eyes saw, I didn't deny them. Whatever I was that I wanted. Lo manatius libi, and I didn't hold back. Ki libi tameh, and it was fun. It was fun getting all these, you know, they go to auctions, and they go this, and they get that, and I know someone has a bunch of little statues and has every single statue, you know, you could get almost any, whatever beautiful thing it is that you want. And there is something to having a person that has nice things, thanks Hashem that they have nice things. Right. And they look forward to it. It brings them happiness to have these. It's fine. But it's not life itself. It's just, it augments a life. It augments other parts of life. And so as we see, Vizelcha, and what did I get from that? So let's see in verse 12, Panisa ni mekomase shiyasi, and I looked around at it, look at all that I did, and all that work, and it was work. He went to every, you know, garage sale, and he went to every Sotheby's auction, and picked up everything you can imagine. Vinei hakol, and then at the end, he realized that it's just hevel. Hevel is this thing that dissipates. It's like a cloud that just, it's here, and you try to hold on to it, and you realize it's just hot air, and over time it just, sometimes people, they reach a stage in their life, they sell off their collection for nothing because it has no meaning. After a certain point, it loses its charm. It just doesn't do for them what it used to do. And he realized that this is not what life is about. Don't spend life collecting whatever it is, buildings or, I knew someone that was a golfer. He lived for golf and golf clubs, and then he reached a stage in life where he couldn't golf anymore, and his golf clubs went for, like, you know, his prize club and his friend. He had a car that had a trunk that could fit, you know, the really big golf clubs, and they talked about it was his life. But I don't think as a recreation to give a person some fresh air, wonderful, but it's not life itself. If a person sees that as life is golf, life is, and they put it on their bumper sticker, and that's all they, you know, this is their, and they find like-minded people who talk about it and who live it, and you get distracted. That's the problem.
But these things have no soul.
That's correct. That's really what it is. There's no soul to, and then the kids throw them out. And then, you know, you see that with the newest toy that they got to have. Well, for a while they had the silly bands, and then before then they had the beanie bags, and then they had the, and then after a while the supermarket, they put them on sale. They can't give them away. You go, oh, that was last year's toy. You know, what's going to be this year's toy? Now it's like that. They have the new iPhone, and then the old, no one's going to want the old iPhone. You got to have the new iPhone. But as long as it's not life itself, a person can enjoy collecting certain things and doing certain things, as long as that helps him do other things in life. As long as it's not life itself, it's not this, there's no soul to it. It's not something you can hold on to. And so he said, "Hinei kol hevel rosh ruach." It was still coming up with a word for hot air. He calls it a vexation of the spirit. That's such an interesting way to. It means that it's like a cloud that you want to grab onto and say, look what I have, and then it's just air, and the weather changes, and it dissipates, and it goes, and and he realized that when you're not put in this world to collect these things, these collections and these type of things.
Oh, but you know, before he says, I need Kohelis, why does he call himself Kohelis?
One of the things that he sought to do was to teach people. And he used his wisdom to learn about Hashem and learn the ways of the world and learn Torah. And he felt that part of being a king is to share the wisdom that he had learned with the people. So he gathered them together. The word kehila means to gather people together. So he gathered them together and taught. And he was famous. That's why there's like the story with the Queen of Sheba and with other African nations, that people from all over the world came to attend his lectures, to come and hear what he had to say. And he wrote, we have three books from King Solomon, Shlomo. We have the Song of Songs, we have Proverbs, we have and Gemara says that he had thousands of teachings. He had like thousands of Mishalim, and he not only did he know Torah, it says that he was the first Dr. Doolittle. He understood the animals. He knew he understood what was bothering them. He understood agriculture. There was like I don't know if the word Renaissance man or the word, but he studied all forms of wisdom, and he disseminated it, which that's the word kehila, meaning that he tried to share the wisdom with others.
But what he wound up doing, what he talks about here is material things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's material wisdom, too. In other words, he I'm sure there was a lot of science and a lot of nature that he... Did he teach that as well? That I don't know. In other words, what were his lectures on?
But this was the era that he keeps talking about.
Right, so this is at the end of his life. He's sharing with people what the lessons that life taught him. And so he must, at an earlier stage, when he was out collecting all these things and making the gardens and the buildings and the gold and the silver, we might have, that looks really cool, I wish I were him. You know. And then, so now he speaks to us after learning what life is all about and saying, you know, that was a waste of time. You know, there's no real happiness in that. I've been there, done that. I had an unlimited checkbook, and I saw, and while I did it, there was a certain amount of joy and a certain amount of work. But examining it closer, he realized, and he shared this lesson with people. He wanted people to learn from his mistakes and what he tried and what he saw and what he learned from. This was one of the kings from the house of David saw themselves not just as leaders, but as teachers. And they taught. They taught people, large gatherings of people, they would share what they taught. And so this Kohelis means this was something that he shared with large groups of people, and eventually they wrote it down and, you know, wrote it as a Megillah.
Well, we think of a Kohelis as a shul.
Well, a shul, it's actually more than a shul. A Kohelis is when they talk just on a sideline, when they talk about a Kohelis, a shul is strictly speaking a place to pray, mm-hmm. to daven, but a Kohelis means a place that has It has a school. It has a matzah built. It has a chevra kadisha. It has a mikvah. It has all aspects of the community. It has an old age home. In other words, the kehila is an entire congregation, all the needs of the community. It's almost like a Jewish community center, so to speak. The original kehila was the needs of the community. So Koheles means a gathering of the community and sharing the words of wisdom that he wanted to impart to future generations.
The non-spiritual part, too.
Probably. In other words, whatever wisdom he had, I'm sure he shared with people. In other words, did the people from Africa, did they come for the spiritual part, or did they come for the... I don't know. it spoke to them. In other words, these other nations, it says they came from all over the world to attend. They'd never seen anything like it, you know, what King Solomon, what Shlomo HaMelech had to teach or to... And even the words themselves, it's such a unique book, you know, just looking... He's very personal. We're going to see right now, this next chapter, he's going to talk about his family in a hidden way, his son, the heir, because we're going to see that everything that he seeked to build was lost because the next king was not King Solomon. In other words, he had many plans. He wanted to reach he built the Beis HaMikdosh, and he wanted to reach out to all the nations of the world, and he did many different things, and everything that he had striven to do depended on who the leader who would come after him, what he would be. And we're going to see that his son was not a terrible person, but he was not Shlomo. And a lot of the things that he worked to do would be undone by the next generation. And in fact, the Jewish people split up after that. And this was by Rehavam. And he doesn't speak it out directly. I mean, he doesn't want to insult his child. But that was as he grew older and he realized, it's almost like someone that has a big family company that they sought to build. And then they hand it over to the child and they see the child isn't, you know, is running it into the ground, you know, like what? That'd be very frustrating to him as a king to see that. And so he's going to reflect that a little bit as well. So this is like the reflections. There's a certain, it's the process of reflecting is a very important process. With this time of year, like at the end of the year, Rosh Hashanah time is time where we look back and we try to see what were the good things and what were the bad things and what do we need to do for the next year. And so that's a Jewish process. That's a process of reflection. And that's very much what he did was he said, well, let's talk about this, you know, what's life about? What is it all about? And so he had he was sharing what he had learned with all of his wisdom and all of the... So we tend to think of Shlomo as the person that made all these mistakes. He had all these wives. He had all these horses. And we don't see that he learned from them. And he made mistakes because that's the human condition. We also make mistakes. But we have to look back and say, you know, I wasted a lot of time on that. That's not what I want to do next year. That's not where... I'm not going to see happiness from that. What's really important or what do I need to do? And so he tried to convey that. And he did succeed as far as leaving for the Jewish people this record of what he had learned or seen. But the other, Gemara says he had, even in Tanakh, it says he had thousands of written works about different things, about all kinds of, you know, all the different wisdoms that he studied. And it's really, we really can't imagine, you know, the amount of, most of us can't even figure out how does a person have 1,000 wives and how do they have just the type of things that he would have done. And he had these large... he was known for having a very large table also. Mm-hmm. He had there's a restaurant in New York called King Solomon's mm-hmm. Table, because he had the biggest spread, so to speak, that was out there. And of course, if you were invited to the king's table, and at the table he would speak. In other words, people would come to eat and they'd have these big parties. But unlike the, you know, Gentiles would just have parties, like Achashverosh every day had parties, and he would use these parties like Avraham Avinu would to share with people what he had learned, to share words of Torah, to share wisdom. In Mishle, there's more like Torah. This is more, it's not that this isn't Torah, this is more of a reflection of looking back and seeing, you know, what life taught him. So, verse 11, so he turned around and he saw that life was not about physical things. And again, our society wants us to buy physical. Our economy depends on it, that you throw out the old things and you get the latest. And we're constantly hit with that message because every piece of advertising is designed that we should want to go out and buy the new thing, whatever it is.
New and improved.
New and improved. And it's subliminal. Sometimes you don't think that that's what they're doing, but that's exactly what every one of them isn't giving you that information. They want your attention because they want to convince you that you need their product, you need what they're trying to sell you. And it takes away, there's nobody that's trying to tell you what you need to do is you need to be work, get be more spiritual, you need to do more mitzvot, you need to help more people or do more chesed. You don't hear, those aren't the messages we hear. The message that we're bombarded with is, we need something. We need the newest this and the newest that and the new and improved that. And if we don't have this, you know, life will just be perfect if we get, I mean, even in mattresses, the amount of commercials we hear, I have to laugh because I'm one of these people that I have the same mattress that I'm ashamed to admit that when I moved in Atlanta 25 years ago, I have the same mattress. And, you know, don't tell anyone, you know.
If it's only been 8 years,
I got to get rid of it every... I don't have memory foam, and I don't have, you know, adjustable, what's my memory bed number, and it comes from this, it comes from that, and the and I keep hearing it sounds so nice, you know. If only I had the... I sleep on it. I don't know what it, you know. I couldn't tell you what brand it is or what it's, you know, I lie down on it, I'm tired, I sleep on it, you know. But... if you hear these commercials, it sounds so nice. You know, you spend a third of your life in it, and you'll be so well rested, and you'll feel so much better, and you have your memory number, and you can adjust it, and if it's old, then it's dirty, and this and that, and it doesn't adjust, and I'm sure it's all true, but that's the message that we're getting, is that we need things. And we do need things. I'm sure all of us need to replace certain things. But that's not what life is about. You know, that we can get the things that we need. Hashem, it says that Hashem provides us all. Poseach es yedecha umasbia l'kol chai ratzon. Hashem provides for every living person. In fact, there's a famous Rabbi Miller who talked about being at a construction site during lunchtime. And he saw when they blew the lunch whistle, so everybody pulls out their lunch. You know, everybody's eating it. Everyone has, one has a lunch bag, one goes out, one goes, but what, all of our needs will be provided for, but that's not life itself. In other words, we have to eat, we have to drink, we have to have whatever we have, but that's not what life is about. There's more to life than just eating and drinking and providing. And so, that's kind of it's not about things. So that's one lesson. So then he goes to the next step, which is an important step. So now let's talk about wisdom. Let's forget about things. Let's work on our mind. Let's work on wisdom, learning, literature. Holus v'siklus. Let's work on wisdom and folly. Ki maya adam shiyavo achrei hamelech. And what can a person do if they come after a king? In other words, a king has the means to support search of wisdom. In order to have wisdom, you have to have the funding. You have to have the funding. And what can a regular person do? Whereas a king, he can do experiments, he can hire the top knowledge. As the Sheikh Barasu, everything has been done. Verse 13. Now, in wisdom, Shiesh Yisrun Lechachma, definitely, being wise is better than the alternative, right? In other words, there's no question that wisdom beats foolishness. And the difference between wisdom and foolishness, ki yisrana or minachoshek, it's between day and night. There's no question that having wisdom is an important thing, and it's day and night. It's a question of living in darkness In those days especially, if it was dark, people didn't travel in the dark. You could stumble, you couldn't see what was out there, there were wild animals. Everybody waited for daylight because at night it was just impossible. And there's a big difference when you, if a person isn't wise, then they make all kinds of mistakes. They stumble on, there's all kinds of dangers if you don't go with wisdom. 14, and this is a famous sentence over here that many people are familiar with this. Hachacham, a wise person, einav barosho, his eyes are in his head. Vaksil b'choshech holech, whereas the fool walks in darkness. So what does that mean? Doesn't everybody have their eyes in their head? So the word rosho, rosh is the beginning. And having your eyes in the beginning means that you see, your eyes help you see before you begin something. In other words, in Pirkei Avos it speaks this out, that a wise person is a person who sees the future. It's a person that thinks ahead. Eina Barosho means that his vision, it's before he begins something, he thinks about where it will lead. Where is this going to take me? What is this going to do? The wise person, his eyes are in his head. In other words, he doesn't just act. He first looks and he plans. And it's very interesting because that's part of the Rosh Hashanah process. We don't just have a new year. You know, before we start the year, we plan the year. And it's interesting. Part of the process is looking back, and part is saying we made certain mistakes. And we kind of focus on that on Yom Kippur. That's when we focus on our sins. But Rosh Hashanah, we kind of want to plot the new year. Where do we want to be? What's life about? You know, that's the wise person. He starts out the year, he sees, he thinks about where he wants to be, what he wants to do. He's looking forward. His eyes are on top. Whereas a foolish person, he goes in the dark, he doesn't look, he doesn't think, he doesn't plan. That's the big difference between the two. So obviously we all want to be, some people, they act without thinking. They just don't think it through. And then afterwards they're stuck trying to do damage control. Whereas if you try to think ahead, if you try to think about things beforehand, most of us, Hashem gives us the common sense. We just, sometimes some people are impulsive. They now know that it's a chemical thing, believe it or not, that some people, that there's something chemically, it makes them just, well, get up and do something. And then I did that, you know, the wise way would be to think about before you do that, you know, is that the right thing? A lot of people, they lose their jobs because they're impulsive. They say something to their boss or to someone else, or they just do something without thinking. And that's a challenge, because wisdom is before you do something, you think. You know, you think first and then you act. So he's a chacham, a wise person. His eyes go before him, or his eyes are in, rosho means the beginning. Like the head or the top or for us, it's not really the head of the year, it's the beginning of the year. The word Rosh is the same as the word Rishon, the beginning. A wise person, he thinks his eyes are in the beginning, he sees ahead. Whereas a person who's a fool, he just goes in the dark. V'yadati kamani shemikra echad. Now, there's a certain dilemma here, and that is sometimes fools have luck also. Sometimes there are people that are foolish that they have a lot of money, or they seem to do very well. And sometimes there are people that are very smart, and life isn't necessarily good to them. The gamanisha mikra echa yikra es kulam. And it seems like it's one of the challenges in life is that sometimes you have a person who did everything right, and it still doesn't come out right. And you have someone else who doesn't plan at all, and somehow they have, seems like they have luck or something, so to speak. And in a certain way, I guess the word vexed is the right word, or he's trying to get to that dilemma. You know, how is it that does that mean that wisdom isn't good, or would you still rather be wise than not wise? And he says, you know what, we all die. What is my wisdom going to help? You know, just being smart, just having knowledge, how is that going to change things? we kind of want to go to the end. You know, when you read a book, you have to know what's going to happen at the end. So first he's going to talk, you know, it's good to be smart, it's good to have wisdom, but that's not going to be it either. A person, in the end, a person has to connect with his purpose in life connect to Hashem. And that's going to come later, but now he's just talking through the wisdom. Ki ein zikron l'chacham im maksil. Lolem, you know, after time goes on, who's going to remember that you got an A on your test and you got a C on your test? Who's going to know? It's always funny when the kids, you know, get into grades and they have, you know, in a few years, they're not going to remember, you know, that they didn't get the highest grade.
I used to say that to my kids because they were the ones with the C's. You know, no one's going to ask your grade when you go for the job.
Right.
Do the best you can.
Right, right, right. And some people, they...
I'll lie for you.
And that's what King Solomon said. You know, time goes on, it's all forgotten. Nobody remembers that. But how could it be that the wise person also dies just like the fool? He says, and I hated life. And it's a very interesting, you know, expression. But until he found meaning, he was trying, there are things in life that are frustrating. And that's it's okay to be frustrated. In other words, if you realize that there are things that are frustrating, because not everything that happens in this world understand. Things that happen under the sun, kiyakol hevel, I see a lot of hevel. Again, he gets back to this, like the clouds that dissipate, the ruas ruach, and their bad spirit. 18. The senesani is kol amoli shani yamotah hashemes. And I hate all the work that I've done. I built all these good things. You know, he built the Beit HaMikdash, and he built a court system, and he established the Jewish people to teach Torah to all the different nations where they would come and they'd learn about Hashem. And what was going to happen? Shani chanu la'adam shia achrei. I'm going to leave it over to the person that will be after me. We only can do what we can do, and then someone else will take over afterwards. Verse 19. Who knows if he's going to be wise? He was saying it in a nice way. The truth is, it wasn't clear. You know, sometimes we're that way with politicians. So sometimes we think somebody's going to be great, and then they get up there and they just, it's not how we expected. So he was saying that also. We don't really know. Who was it who took over after Roosevelt? Was that Truman?
Truman.
Yeah. They thought he would be a terrible president because they never planned for him to be. And right. Turned out he did pretty good. You know, that's what they
vice
say.
Vice presidents were nothing in those days.
Yeah. Right. And so nobody really knows. Then they had other people who they thought would be brilliant and would be good and were terrible. So
they too.
Yeah.
Knew he wasn't.
Yeah. So he says, you know, the next king, who knows if he'll be wise or he'll be a fool. And we're going to see that his son did something very foolish. That was Rechavim. Rechavim lost the kingdom. Part of being a king is being a leader, and in a certain respect, he lost that. The Yisha b'kol amoli, and whoever after a person goes, someone else is going to rule over all the work that I've done. Shemalti shechasmi, and all my wisdom, tachash gam zehevel, and so. If a person thinks about that, what is life really all about? Verse 20, V'sakosi, V'sabosi ani l'yayesh eslibi. And in my heart I was despairing. I call him for all the work that I had done. Verse 21, Kiyesh am shiyama b'chachma das b'kishin. Sometimes a person has worked and labored and done everything with wisdom, and he hands it over to someone, l'adam shalomo, to someone who never worked. Yinanu chalko. And that person who never worked is going to lose it, and it's not fair. It's like certain people are born into wealth. What did they do to deserve that? Kima 22. Kima hove la'adam b'kol amo b'rayim libo. And what will it help a person with all of his work? Life is meant for work. We're born to work. But what do we have from our work? And what do we have to our thoughts and our stress? He calls that his stress. Rayon libo. It's an interesting thing. It's like the work of the heart. You know, our heart, sometimes a person's heart suffers, like things bother a person in their heart, and they worry about things. And so what does that benefit? What is that going to benefit all of the work and the heartache that a person had that he does underneath the sun. He called Yama Makovim because all of his days are in pain. There's a lot of pain. The Kasin Yano and anger. Gam Balayu Lo Shachav Libo, and at night also things are difficult. Gam Zeh Hevelu. It's really interesting, you know, with everything he had, he sounds like he went through a lot of unhappiness at different times. Things bothered him. Ain Tov Adam Shiyocha V'Shasa. So, you know what? Maybe a person shouldn't, you know, worry so much about getting things or getting wisdom. You know, eat and drink. Isn't it good for a person to eat and drink V'Hiris Nafsho Tov and be in a good mood? Work on being of good spirit, Bamolo. Gam Zeri Isyani Kimiyad Elokim, and this is in the hands of Hashem. We find that Yaakov Avinu, our forefather, he had a challenging life because his older brother, who was a murderer, Esav, he was a twin. And so he shared life, his early years, with Esav. It was not, Esav wasn't the kind of person who he wanted to be around. And he had to run away from him. And on the way that he was running away, all his possessions were taken away. And he literally had to sell himself as a servant. He had to work for 14 years just to be able to afford to get married. And he had many... before he went, he said to Hashem, you know what I want, Hashem? Just as long as I have lechem lecho u'begeg lilbosh, as long as I have food and clothing, then we're good. As long as I'm not starving, as long as I'm not cold, I have food and I have clothing, then that's all I need from life. And that's what he told Hashem before he if a person, you know, we convince ourselves that we need so much more. We need food, we need clothing, we need health insurance, we need so many things that they have, and we need a foam mattress and a, you know, a sleep number bed, and we need to have whatever it is, sometimes a person life is about the simple things. You know, if a person it's cold and you can put a sweater on, do you ever appreciate that you don't have to be cold? Or if it's hot and you could put the fan on or the air conditioning, or if you're hungry and you could be full. I mean, there were people that lived at times where they could never satisfy their hunger. And you read it, you know, they put it in their... So maybe life is about enjoying the simple, you know, just what the simple things that Hashem gives us. So now he's thinking about the simple things or the important things. Gam Zeru Isi, and I've seen that that's in the hand of Hashem, that this is something that comes from Hashem, whether a person will have his needs met. Ki mi yochol mi yochush, and who eats and who worries about that except for me? I think it means the person has to worry about himself. Yeah, the footnote I don't think refers... This is still on 24. That's on 25.
Oh, okay.
This is actually 26. Is mm-hmm. this verse? Ki mi yochol umi, who will eat and who will... he says, make haste. I think it means that a person has to worry about their themselves, or kila adam shetov lefanov, to the person that does good deeds in front of Hashem. Nosen chachma v'das, Hashem gives wisdom and knowledge, v'simcha, and the joy. Ulechota, and to a person who sins, nosen inyan le'asaf ulichnos. Basically, what he's saying is that Hashem allows some people to enjoy life and the wisdom to enjoy the world, and to the wicked people, he gives them their mind that they need things, that they have to have more money, that they have to have more things, less of lichnos, less they, some people, they get caught up in things that they don't, we really daven for that, to be able to enjoy the things, less this with Tov, with Ne'elokim, and so there's a certain wisdom that comes from Hashem. To there are people that have very little and they're able to enjoy it, and there are people that have a whole lot and they're miserable. I think that's what he's saying here. Kilam shetov lefanav, to those that are good in Hashem's eyes, that if we're worthy, then Hashem we actually pray for this in benching. We say, the chalta v'savachta, that we eat and we be satisfied. Sometimes you eat and you're not satisfied. You don't like it. It doesn't satisfy you. It's a blessing from Hashem if you're able to eat and to be able to enjoy it. And if a person isn't worthy in Hashem's eyes, it's never good enough. And he said, Gizam, it's also a hevel rosh ruach. Now we begin chapter 3. We'll start it, even though we'll leave it. This is also famous for the concept. And that is that there's a time for everything. But there's also not a time for everything. And that is that there's different... some things are good and some things are bad. There's a lot of discussion about this now because, Obama didn't want to go to war. You know, he didn't want to put boots on the ground, or he didn't want to go back to fight in Iraq. And now it looks like he's being forced to go to war. So is that good? Is that bad? Everybody agrees that there are times where you have to go to war, and everybody agrees that there are times where you shouldn't be at war. And he kind of wants to lay that out over here about different times. And what we'll try to take a look at is he's not trying to write something obvious. Why doesn't he just say there's a time for everything? But he does more than that. As we're going to see, the first eight verses, he talks about the different times. There's a total of 7 verses, and they have, it says times 4 times, comes out 24 for like each hour in the day. And he's going to discuss about how there are different times for different things. Everything's appropriate in the right time, or it could be not appropriate. And that's a wisdom also, to know when it's the right time for different actions. Okay, I'll stop here.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.